Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's an interesting thought to ponder that Jesus so often taught those that he was speaking to using illustrations and parables that had something to do with things that those people, that audience, was familiar with. So to fishermen, he called out to saying to them that they should be fishers of men. To shepherds, he let them know that he was the good shepherd. To laborers, he gave the story of the landowner who paid his workers the same regardless of how long they worked throughout the day. And in the end, those who heard him, those who had ears to hear, would hear something that was true, regardless of whether you were a fisherman or a carpenter or a scribe or a Pharisee or a shepherd or a homemaker or a tax collector. Now, it seems almost irreverent to ask what kind of illustrations Jesus might use if his incarnation were to happen now in this late date. What kind of parable would he say? A computer programmer went out to create an application. And as he went on his way, he found that some code produced errors and bugs. Other code was vulnerable to hacking. It sounds terrible, but I'm sure at the time it was the same. The code is the gospel, etc., something like that. Thank goodness Jesus came to us at the time that he did, when seed was cast out upon the earth without a complicated seeding machine, just cast out. For whether we are gardeners or farmers or not, we understand that seeds still grow and need soil in which to produce fruit. The parable we've heard today is at once readily understood and yet puzzling, as any message from our Lord sometimes can be. It's readily understood because we listen to Jesus give the explanation. He interprets it himself. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It seems an easy enough interpretation. It seems that in some respects, people who hear the gospel fall into four tidy categories. And we're simply left at that point to ask ourselves, well, which one am I? Surely I'm the one with the honest and good heart, who, having heard the word, keeps it and brings forth fruit with patience. And then perhaps an elbow jab of the person sitting next to you. We recall that at times it could be said that more characteristic of us is at least to be somewhat choked with cares and riches and pleasures of the world. And perhaps in a more sullen moment in life, we might be willing to admit that at times great new insights have been sown into our hearts and were received with great enthusiasm only to be squashed as the return of some besetting sin or temptation put an end to that new sprout that had begun in us. And at other times, if we admit it, we are downright hard-hearted as a beaten path. And though seeds are sown upon the soil of our heart, they never even have a chance to take root. And when the question is asked, what kind of soil is the soil of your heart? It's a puzzling thing to try and answer. Sometimes we're hard-hearted, and sometimes eager but weak-willed, sometimes too filled with cares for the world, or cares of the world, and sometimes seriously good, taking the gospel deep within, producing fruit with patience. Now, in the Nicene Creed, we say that we believe of Jesus Christ that he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead. And so it seems that soon enough our judge will have an answer for us as to what condition our hearts were in when we received time and time again the seed of the gospel. But how shall we live now? With lax conscience and presumption, or with fingernails chewed down to the flesh, with worry about which kind of soil our hearts may be characterized as? Or perhaps something different. Leaving judgment to the judge himself, perhaps we can hear the words that come just after this parable in the New Testament as further explanation of the sower and the seed. Jesus has another parable directly afterwards. He says this: "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him." What are we talking about when we're talking about seeds falling to the ground on good soil? We're talking about the right use and application of that seed. For it's not fitting for seed to fall on a path. It's not good for it to spring up and die. It's not right for the sprout to be choked by weeds. But it is meet and right for the seed to fall on good soil and be watered and nurtured and given sunlight to grow up and establish roots and produce fruit. And Jesus keeps going. He says, it's like a lamp. We're talking about the right use of a lamp. You don't light a lamp and then put a bowl over it. Rather, you set it on a lampstand so that all who enter may see by that light. Like a seed planted in good soil, producing good fruit, the light on the lampstand produces illumination and isn't stifled or choked, snuffed out. It's put to right use. And you might as well put it to right use, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light, with a God from whom no secrets are hid. At the end of these instructions about the lamp and the seed and the sower comes the instruction from our Lord, which I think sums it up. Therefore, take heed how you hear. At the end of so many words and illustrations, it's easy to skip over that sentence. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear this gospel that is continuously presented to you. For someday judgment will be made according to what kind of heart you received these seeds, what you did with the light that was lit in you. When this gospel of Jesus Christ reveals to you a Savior who forgives, and then you are given an opportunity to forgive, take heed how you hear this good news. When the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals to you a Savior who freely gives of himself, but you are tempted to hoard your talents and your company and your gifts to yourself, take heed how you hear the good news of Jesus Christ. When the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals to you a Savior who loves without condition, and yet you haven't enough paper to list the conditions that you have before you consider loving another person, take heed how you hear this gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Won't God just keep giving me more and more and more opportunities, and we just pick the ones that we want at the moment that we're good and ready to receive it? Not so. Jesus says, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." Take heed how you hear this gospel. For to those who receive this Christ, they will receive more grace, more of his Spirit, more of the fruits of the union with God, love and joy and peace and patience, all fruits. And to those who receive, but fight and resist and qualify and dilly-dally, even what they seem to have will be taken from them. So how's that for inequality? To those who have, more will be given. For those who seem to have, even what they have will be taken from them. And you could complain very easily, that's not fair. We heard that about a week ago. That's not fair. Well, you're talking to the sower now. He has sown seed in this soil, and he has seen where the seed grows and where it produces fruit, and he's seen where it was choked, and he's seen where the roots are shallow, and he's seen where the seed was wasted. And hear this, if you were the sower, and you saw in your fields where the seed was growing, and where the fruit was, and where it wasn't, where would you sow more seed? Where would you be careful not to cast so much seed again? Perhaps that makes more sense now to hear. Those who have even more will be given. The sower and the lamp are parables meant for you to hear. Take heed how you hear. To fishermen, Jesus spoke about fishing with the hopes that his words would be taken deep into their hearts. To shepherds, Jesus spoke about sheep and shepherds and wolves and gates so that shepherds would understand and it would be taken deep into their hearts. To farmers, he spoke of farming, and to others, he spoke as he saw fit so that the word he spoke would be received or have the best chance of being planted deep in good soil. And so now it comes to you. And now it comes to me. I submit to you that in some way, whether recently or in the weeks to come in the season of Lent, God will find a way to get your attention and sow a seed. Let us be careful how we receive it. Let us pray that whatever soil of our hearts is hard with anger, with unforgiveness, or is weedy with worries or resents, or is shallow with laziness, that it would be softened and weeded and tilled and watered so that the seeds of the gospel sown even here today in this gospel, in this liturgy, in this sacrament, would find good soil in which to grow and bear fruit so that the sower will be pleased with what he sees and sow in us even more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.